If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
She is one of my personal favorite artists of all time. Melissa Manchester is here. And I will tell you, first of all, thank you, not only for doing this interview, but Melissa, thank you for my my marriage. You see, 38 years ago or so, I think it was, I do know this, our anniversary is coming up, Through the Eyes of Love, the theme from Ice Castles was played at our wedding. Yes. How many times have you heard what I just said, people saying, thank you, thank you?
Oh, lots and lots and lots. It's very touching how much that song has meant to people.
And did you know at the time you recorded it that, oh my gosh, this song would be Academy Award nominated and forever live? Because I'm sure it is still played at weddings all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, you never know. I just knew that it was a very beautiful song written by my gorgeous friends, the late Marvin Hamlisch and Carol Sager, and that it found its place in the hearts of so many people. It's just as touching as could be.
Well, you have a fairly new, at this point, CD out. It's called Review, which reviews some of the songs that you've written and recorded over the years. And one of those is a song called Whenever I Call You Friend. And now, finally, so Kenny Loggins and Stevie Nicks had a huge hit record with that, but you were the co-writer of that song. So now you finally get to sing it with Kenny, huh?
Yes, it took us 45 years.
That's all?
Yes, Kenny and I, after we wrote the song, and honestly, nobody was terribly impressed with it.
Really?
I couldn't get anybody at my record company to focus on the song at all, and I thought, okay. And then Stevie and Kenny had a big hit. And then I tried to get Kenny to focus on perhaps recording a follow-up with me over the decades. And just, you know, it was a scheduling issue. It was, you know, a budgeting issue, whatever, whatever, whatever. And then, but I also knew that I wanted to make this version really my own. I didn't want very much reference back to that production. And so once I found that opening vamp, I knew how to build the song. And so I, with my co-producer, Stefan Oberhoff, we built, you know, hundreds of voices, as you can hear. And I sent the track with the work vocal to Kenny's manager, and I didn't hear from him for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, late at night, I texted him and I said, well, you know, let me know if you want to do this or not, because, you know, it's been 2 weeks. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine, but I do need to move along. And he said, he texted me back and he said, well, why don't you send it to me? I said, well, you've had it for 2 weeks. And he said, hold on. And 10 minutes later, he said, I love this. I'm in. And we recorded it so joyfully. And his signature sound is, you know, as you can hear, all over the place. And our beloved friend Dave Koz does this smashing sax solo. And it's, you know, it's just thrilling to have finally completed this in such a beautiful way.
Well, similarly, on the same CD, there's one song I think I would challenge anyone to hear the first, I suppose it's probably eight bars, the opening eight bars, and not know that song is Midnight Blue. I don't even know how you sing it in concert, because it begins to play and everybody must be applauding, 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 and you don't even get a chance.
Yes.
Does that happen?
Yes, it does. People are very moved by that song, and it's very touching because it was my first hit, you know, so I have a particular tenderness. But in this moment, to have reconceived it as a duet between two old female friends, specifically Dolly Parton, it was just a wonderful experience. She is so truly a queen. When I sent the track to her, and I put the work vocal so she would know where to sing and what the harmonies were, she sent back her performance, her vocal, and I thought, man, I got to go back into the studio because I have to meet her emotionally where she sings. She's such an unusual singer. I don't even know how to describe it other than exquisite. And when I went down to Nashville to film the video with her, you know, people just pull over and scream her name as soon as they see her. It's just beautiful. So it was really, it was a gorgeous opportunity to do this with Dolly.
You know, I must ask you this, and it's a silly question to ask because you're not going to trash Dolly Parton. But I will tell you, she seems, and I've never spoken to her, but I'd like to, but she seems so sincere, so incredibly kind. And, you know, when you, and you often sing about kindness and have in many of your songs, she's the epitome of that, it seems. Am I right?
Well, you're absolutely right. She is a deeply compassionate woman, and she's also a really smart business person. And those two don't often go together, but, you know, she, through very good people around her or her own business acumen, she has created this empire, and she has given back to society. Her philanthropy is unmatched, and it's really that's what I'm saying. She's truly a queen and well-deserved to be called that.
You know, there are just too many people in this world who are undecided, and too many lonely people afraid to take a stand. When you wrote that in the song, Just Too Many People, is that this is true. This morning, on CBS This Morning, with Gayle King, and she was just, they did a segment on this very topic, particularly people in their 20s feeling depressed and lonely. Has the song taken on sort of a different meaning from when you originally wrote this?
I think so. I mean, you know, we're in such an unusual moment. Young people, for the first time in my life experience, which is quite long at this point, young people are cynical. I don't remember young people being cynical, because they're not hopeful, and that's very dangerous for society. And so, you know, so artists need to create art to help give people songs to clarify and illuminate a point of view, so it's not just sort of floating anxiety all the time. I think all of the songs actually have taken on different meaning. Because personally, you know, these songs are not just songs now. They're living monologues. So that's interesting. But they serve society differently over the years, you know.
One day, I wonder if this happened to you. You took a walk outside, and you forgot your umbrella, and it began to rain. Is that how you wrote Coming from the Rain? How do these songs...
Not at all.
It was a guess. But how do these songs come about?
Carol Sager and I were writing partners for 5 years. And our songs are very conversational in tone because they literally all came out of conversations. Coming from the Rain, like Midnight Blue... came out of a conversation about how to navigate, relationships, and in the case of Coming from the Rain, to reach out to a loved one, or a husband at the time, and say, even though we're struggling, or even though I see you struggling, you are safe with me. You can come in from your struggles and rest a while. So that's pretty much how the songs happened.
Well, you told the story. So who's, I can't help but ask, whose husband? Was it yours or Carol's?
Oh, it was both of ours. And what was really lovely when I first recorded it, the bassoon that is playing on that original recording was written for my dad, who was a bassoonist with the Metropolitan Opera. And on this most recent recording on review, it's my dear friend Bill Wood, who's a superb bassoonist as well.
Yeah, when it comes to musicians, the best appear to want to work with you. Is it true? I need to confirm this once and for all. Is it true that Paul Simon, as in Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon, was really a teacher of yours?
He was. When I was 17, I went to college at NYU School of the Arts for 1 year, and then I left. I had enough of college, and I was a working person at the time. But two friends of mine in my former theater class saw this scrap of paper. This is long before cell phones and social media and all that. It was a scrap of paper and a billboard in the hallway of the school that said songwriting and record production taught by Paul Simon. And Bridge Over Troubled Waters had recently been number one all over the world. So, you know, everybody was thinking, could it possibly be that Paul Simon? And it was indeed. And everybody auditioned for the class. And he taught for 6 months. We met once a week for 2 hours. It was a very interesting group of young students. It was beautifully taught. I learned so much. And when I teach, when I'm invited to teach songwriting, I share a lot of what he taught me.
Gosh, I wish I had more time with you. We still have a couple of minutes, though, but I'd love to know what you teach others when you teach songwriting. But I must talk about Fanny Brice, Funny Girl. And you are playing Fanny Brice, right?
Yes. We just finished the two-year tour of 556 performances in 51 cities across the nation.
What?
Of the musical Funny Girl. Yes, it was spectacularly successful and gorgeous, and it was just a thrill to be part of this beautiful, beautiful production.
Well, what was wrong with that is I don't believe you came to Chicago. So is it going to happen? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It did not. And it was for reasons beyond my pay grade. So, you know, I love Chicago and I've performed in Chicago many times. And so it was a drag that it never got near there. But nonetheless, it was a great, great adventure. Beautiful.
Well, what people may not know, unless they've seen you on stage, because you've done many shows, many productions on stage, including right here in Chicago, but you also, I've read, like to travel, and you're now singing for your supper, quite literally?
Yes, I'm back to doing concerts, yes.
And on a boat, on occasion, on a cruise line?
Yes, it's a magnificent way to see the world and perform for people who don't speak English.
But with your songs, I suspect you've done this before. I mean, you've toured other countries before, so that's not necessarily new to you. I have one more question for you. Well, I could actually have 40 more questions, but I'll only ask one. If you were to give advice to a young person today who wanted to break into this business that you are in and have been so successful in as a singer-songwriter, what would that be?
Gosh. Well, certain things haven't changed. I mean, so much has changed, but the thing I would recommend highly is just keep working at your craft. Keep playing at open mic nights and learn how to be on stage and hold a stage. Keep working at your craft as a singer-songwriter. You know, imagine somebody just picked up your music off the floor in some iteration and see if they would get it. And just keep at it. It's not for the faint of heart. Well, the thing about being an artist is it's unsteady and insane and sometimes unsafe. And if that version of normal seems like a good idea to you, then give it a go.
Well, you must still enjoy it. You're still recording. You're still out there doing your thing. And I sincerely mean it. It's just an honor to speak with you. One of the greatest singer-songwriters we've had. Melissa Manchester.
Thank you.
No. Thank you for joining us on WGN. Thank you.
Thank you. And I ache to come back to Chicago sometime soon. Thank you for being so lovely.
A week from Tuesday sounds good to me.
Okay, done.